At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
This is God saying, "If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die," that takes you all the way back to Genesis. God says, this sin will lead to death, and then you give no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life. No, you're just a bigot. You're just near. No, it's to save their life. From what? What death are they talking about? Spiritual death, hell. Got to find my spot back again, okay. Save their life, that the wicked person shall die in his iniquity. Now listen to this. His blood I will require of your hand. Now this is speaking to Ezekiel, but the principle still runs, okay, because we can find it. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, or from his wicked way, notice there's two things there, the living it out and the thinking it out, his wickedness inside, and then living it out his wicked way. He shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. The idea is, wait a minute, if I'm speaking to you the truth, Ezekiel, and you don't share that truth with the wicked, I'm going to hold you accountable for not doing that. Why would he do that? Because Jesus died for the wicked. That's me. That's you. And to not share the truth with them that comes to the wickedness of sin, which turns me to the cross and says, I got to do something about my sin, turns me to the cross. If you don't share their wickedness, you can't aim them at the cross. The cross covers my wickedness. Something I want you to think about, though, and reading some of these webs, blogs that are antithetical to my view and maybe yours, made me think of some of these things. We will say that I have my religious liberty allows me not to make a cake for a homosexual couple or a florist or whatever. Let me ask you a couple questions. Do Christian bakers refuse to bake cakes for people celebrating witchcraft, demonic poltergeist, or let me put it another way, the night of the dead? What day am I talking about? Halloween. Do we stop making cakes for those? Do we claim our religious liberty there? No, we compromise on that one because that means change in my pocket. Do Christian photographers refuse to take photos of cohabitating couples? The couple that's not married and they have their baby now, do they refuse? Well, wait a minute. If I'm taking pictures of a homosexual wedding and that's condoning them, taking a picture of an unmarried couple with a child, am I condoning that? I'm doing this to come back on us, people, to make us think. Do Christian caterers refuse to cater a luncheon to companies that support Planned Parenthood? Do homemakers refuse to shop at businesses that support the gay pride parade? Man, it got quiet in here. See, before we want to say, yeah, I have the right to, you better ask your question. Are you doing this everywhere? Or do you look like a hypocrite? Do you say over here Jehovah and then over here go idol? Because let's get real. Those other ideas have been around in our culture a while. Cohabitating, having kids before you're married. That's been around a while, and we've sort of accepted that, and we'll take their picture. We'll do business with them. But see, this is a new hot subject. But see, we've been in our culture long enough, we've incorporated those other things into our Christian walk. And now when we want to stand on one point, the world looks at us and goes, y'all a bunch of... Because we never stood for it before. Why didn't we stand for it before? Because that lunch I get to cater at that business that spends a lot of money on Planned Parenthood pays me a good check. Ooh, my 1,100 pieces of silver. Man, it gets quiet when you go after like this, man, I tell you. Okay, do I have another slide coming? Yeah, okay. So the man Micah had a shrine. The word shrine is really Beth Elohim, the house of gods. Had a shrine and made an ephod. We know what an ephod is. And the household idols, again, that word is teraphim. We'll talk about that. And consecrated one of his sons that he might become priest. So first I'll talk about these household idols called teraphim. They're basically, it's the idea of a protector, a healer. So good luck charm. Okay, type of thing. Okay, a false sense of safety. If I have this protector thing in my house, you've seen it before, I've seen it before as I've traveled in particular. It sort of like keeps the bad things away. That's how a lot of people today see God. Then it says he consecrated him as, or consecrated his sons as priest. I hate to tell you, your commingling of God and the world will pass from one generation to the next generation. Remember, it started with Mama. Now Micah. Now Micah's doing it in his sons. So as I looked for a picture for the kids this morning, family going to church type thing, you either get LDS ones, and I did. The Satanist sites now have, like you and I would say, a Sunday school curriculum. Yeah. Find the pentagram here. Let's see where these children are doing these in their little colory pictures. Dude, I'm going to back you up a few years, and you don't have to go that far back. You didn't have Sunday school, if you will, for Satanists. Something's changed. See, the real problem here is the real idol, the god of self. That's the issue. Okay, the real idol was the god of self. And I'm setting you up here. I'm just letting you know, I'm setting you up. So you can't get mad at me later when I go after the next part. So he had a shrine and an ephod. A shrine, house of gods. And an ephod. What was the ephod for? Do you remember? The priestly ephod. Who else made one that wasn't supposed to? Gideon. Remember that? I want you to understand, though, the priest with the real ephod's a day's journey away. The real house of God is a day's journey away. I guess it was just too far to go. Maybe somebody was there, had been gone, maybe upset them and hurt their feelings. See, Micah thought home church was better than Shiloh. Yeah, it's going to get real quiet, trust me. See, it was more convenient, so it had to be better. No one telling him what to do at his church. I mean, he made his own God. Nobody telling him what to do. That had to be better. And he can manage it as he pleases instead of somebody else. He can make whoever he wants pastor. He makes his own son priest. And the whole problem is here is the God of self. It's funny, Jesus said, I will build my church. Micah said, I will build my church. Now I'm going to stop and take note. You heard me talk about the kids. Okay. Luke 4:16 says this, for it was his custom, Jesus's, to enter the synagogue on Sunday, on the Sabbath, to go to church on church day. That was his habit. Okay, the only other thing the Bible talks about that Jesus did regularly was get away to pray by himself. Two things Jesus regularly did. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Mark, in particular, drives that into the ground in the first four chapters. He drives that into the ground. If you're good at hermeneutics at all, you notice repetition, and it's repeated a lot in that. Jesus went to church on the designated day his culture went to church. If you now, our missionaries in Muslim parts of the world, they have church on Friday. Because that's when their cultures used to go into religious meetings. So it doesn't have to be Sunday. But my point is, Jesus went to church. And it says also what was his habit, which was his custom. And we see it later when he opens the scroll and he reads from Isaiah. You read that, he says, yeah, but this was his habit, to go to church and read. So that's something God said to do. You heard me mention Hebrews 10:25 to the kids. I'll read it out of the NIV, just easier for you to understand for many. Let us not give up meeting together. Anybody need the Greek on that? As some are in the habit of doing. You can go onto Christian bookstores now, websites, or the books, and go find books to tell you how to avoid meeting together. How to do church at home. How to do it without anybody else. Well, the Bible, they had, and they went house to house, a breaking the bread. Man, it's amazing how you fit 5,000 people in one house. You read it, this 5,000 added to the church, and then over here 3,000 added to the church. That's a big house. And they were. You can go and look at them yourself. They were like, this would be a courtyard and my house would be around it, so we would be meeting here in this size room. Don't think of your house in your little living room. And I was actually watching Rick Steves Europe, not a Christian show. And he's in Rome. And she takes him, taking him all to show these old churches, and the guide takes him to this church, and he goes, that don't look like a church, that don't look like a house. Yeah, she says, that's what it was. It was a house church to start with. Yeah, they figured in that middle court, they could say about 250, 300 people. And eventually, the lady that owned the house was killed, persecuted and killed, martyred, and that's why her house was turned into a regular type church. But he says, don't stop doing that. People will get it. Notice the word, habit. And it was his custom, or his habit, depends on which version you use, for Jesus to go meet in the house of God. But let us encourage one another regarding what? Not, let us encourage one to continue to meet together. All the more as you see the day, capitalized, approaching. The end, as it gets worse, meet more, not less. The move in our culture is to meet less, not more. I mean, isn't that sort of what Micah did, decided to bring the culture into the mess? And look, this is the context now. It talks about Micah doing that and having this in his house and consecrating his sons. Next verse, verse 6, for in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. The context here is a guy setting up his own church in his own home with his own priest, with his own stuff, the way he wants it to do, and these people had no king, and they did whatever was right in their own eyes. Let me put that in a modern philosophical term. It's called postmodernism. Postmodern. There are no absolutes. What's right for you is not necessarily right for me. What's wrong for you? Whatever's right in my own eyes. You can go out right now and get on the web. You can go to a bookstore and find all kinds of books promoting that idea. Yeah. See, I actually had a slide for that. I just get going and I forget. You can also find that in Judges 21, which we'll get to, and in Deuteronomy chapter 12. So now we go on to the next verse 7. There was a young man from Bethlehem in Judea, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite. So Micah talks to him and asks him, what you doing? I'm a Levite from Judah. That's what got him right there. Micah knew he had the sucker he wanted. Because Levites were supposed to live in Levitical cities. There was 38 of them, I think, 42, I don't remember. And Bethlehem ain't one of them. So he already knew he had a Levite who wasn't following the law of God. He knew already. He said, oh, if I'm going to get a Levite then to do something that's against the law, this is the man. He already is following it. So already, now some argue that maybe this fellow's mom was from Judah. It doesn't matter. He was a Levite. He was supposed to live in the particular cities according to the law. Okay? So here's what Micah offers the guy: financial and natural security. A regular salary, a house to live in, clothing and food. Maintenance, by the way, the word maintenance I read out of the is preservation of life substance. It means food. So basically, this guy got an annual salary, housing, food, and clothing.
Okay.
You just become my priest. And it says, and he became like one of their sons. Oh, what a nice relationship. No, remember, he consecrated one of his sons priest. So he became like one of his sons, was consecrated priest. Doesn't mean they had this neat, wonderful relationship. Okay? But this Levite's focus was worldly security. Nope, not yet. Yep. Okay. And then Micah says this at the end of in chapter 13, or the end of the chapter. Micah said, now I know that the Lord will prosper me. Wait a minute. He's got idols in his house. He's got an ephod. In other words, I'm going to find my own way to determine God's will. Let me put it this way. I'm going to translate it my way. All right, he's got that, he's got idols, he's got a priest, and he thinks God's going to prosper him. Nobody's connecting this yet, do you? I see it in the church in America. This is the story. I translate it the way I want. It's God's will for me to be happy, to be blessed, to be comfortable. That's God's will for my life. Doesn't God want me to be happy? Where did you get that? Not in the sense you mean it. He did say, rejoice in your trials and tribulations. Yeah, I want you to be happy then. But this idea, but you had a Levite whose main focus was natural, physical comfort and provision, and therefore he got himself a congregation whose main thing was prosperity and comfort and provision. Now you got the cycle feeding on itself. I'm going to tell you you're blessed because that's what you want to hear. He was looking for a Levite that will tell him what he wants to hear. That brings us to the next verse. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5. And you've heard it. I know you've heard it. For a time is coming. Now let's back up. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more so when you see the day. What day? This day. The time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. I'll tell you right now, you say doctrine to most people. Oh, we don't do doctrine. That divides. So you're not going to endure sound doctrine, in other words. Doctrine just means it's an old word for teaching. People will not endure, put up with sound teaching. But having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Hello, Micah. Give me the Levite that'll tell me what I want to hear. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Anybody know what Chrislam is? And I'm not going to mention the name anyway. Chrislam is basically this, that Christianity and Islam serve the same God. Let's all get along. There's a big-time guy who's actually sold. He denies it in the sense of he says it isn't true. And I'm not mentioning his name on purpose, but I've watched his own video in his own words. Who wrote one of the best-selling Christian books of all time, has started an organization just to get the Muslims and Christians together. Wandering off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Can I X this part out? It says endure suffering. That doesn't work with the priest I've got in my house. It says I'm going to be blessed. That doesn't work. I want to write that out. Do the work of the evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Notice this. Timothy has ministry A, but in that ministry, one thing he has to do is be an evangelist. See, we think evangelist is this guy has some, but you do your ministry thing and you do evangelism. So what is it that Timothy's supposed to, there's the time coming then this is going to happen. Let me read to you the two verses before that. 2 Timothy 4:1-2. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Listen to what he tells Timothy. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to do this as you preach the word. Here's what it says in American culture. Preach the word, telling them how wonderful life's going to be, that life's going to be a blessing. They're going to have bigger cars and bigger houses and bigger stuff. If you're not, you really don't have enough faith. You're really not a Christian if you're in suffering. No, that ain't what it says. Okay? The NC, reprove, that means convict. Rebuke. And exhort. Oh, I like the exhort part. Yeah, but the other two come first. With complete patience and doctrine. We will have the tendency, people, to do what Micah did. I mean, after all, it's a whole day's journey. You know, and besides, if I get around those people, they tell me I don't get to do what I want to do. You know, they're just legalistic. They just set rules for me, you know. And after all, you seen the way the priest used the money there? I mean, my gosh. Whatever his excuses are for not wanting to go where the tabernacle and the presence of the Lord is, he says, I'm going to start my own thing, bring in my own priest, determine God's will my own way. But here's the sad part. There was nobody that came to Micah and told him any different. We read in the next chapter, Danites come along and they actually take his idols and they decide to worship him. You'd be surprised how much mail, email, and even phone calls I get. Hey, we got the key to grow your church. I know what y'all are going to tell me. All these things that this group over here does, that tells all these people they're blessed and wonderful and everything's marvelous and it's going to be great and you're going to have more stuff. And the only part of God we ever talk about is God is love, right? So that overrides everything else. Where do you get that in Scripture? It says God is love twice in the whole book. Now, it does have demonstrations of his loving kindness. I don't argue that. Okay? But they blow past anything that has to do with God's justice. The idea that God might correct his own children. They blow past that stuff. Yeah, I know I can grow a church too. The same way you sell soft drinks or beer. Matter of fact, I watched it this week. We're a church wanting to support its ministry. Open the bar. Oh, you don't think people should drink? You're just legalistic hypocrites. Tell that to the alcoholic laying in the gutter. It all comes down to this. When Jesus is not your king, every man will do what's right in their own eyes. Jesus has to be your king. That don't preach. Tell me Jesus is my Savior and he loves me and he's going to forgive every ugly thing I do. Yeah, that'll preach. And he does. But he still has to be king. I know in America we don't understand it, but in a kingdom, you don't get an option. These are the rules. You don't get to rewrite them. You don't get to vote on them. What? No voting? Oh, that's unchristian, isn't it? No, if he's king of your life, Micah, you'd have never went there. You'd have walked the day's journey to do it the way God said to do it. Now, I don't have to do that. I'm not in the Old Testament, but he was. He wanted to do it his way instead of the king's way, and all you'll end up with a mess. Now, is this mess right here carries on for another 4 centuries. It has a long-lasting effect when we don't honor God as king. We just look at Jesus as some kind of religious object to make me feel better about my guilt. Well, then why don't I just use anything else that makes me feel better about my guilt? God has to be king. New Testament word, Lord. Confess with your mouth that Christ Jesus is Lord. When's the last time you said that out loud? When's the last time you got up in the morning, say, God, I thank you that you are my Lord, the supreme ruler, that you tell me how to behave, how to think, how to do. In America? No, he's, matter of fact, you tell me that I got to make a cake for you, you're telling me what to do, and I don't have to. We can talk about that another time. How do we have to submit to authority? He is the king. He is the king. Let's stand. Father, as I look at these, particularly these Old Testament stories, Lord, I ponder at times how they relate to me, but reality, God, it's easy for me to make myself God, to do it the way I want. Matter of fact, to leave these people and do it the way I want, to determine your purpose and your will the way I want, not by your word. God, I am as vulnerable as everyone listening to my voice. Lord, I pray that you help me. Help me, O God, withstand the God of self. And everyone here, O Lord, I pray that you remind them that the God of self is simply the God of death. And you are the King of life. Be glorified. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.